Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Elizabeth Roberts. Thank you for joining us, Madam Secretary.
It's great to be here.
The budget submitted by Governor Gina Raimondo relies on $180 million in partially specified cuts to Medicaid, the subsidized health care program for the poor. Most of Rhode Island's Medicaid spending is for the elderly and the disabled. Madam Secretary, where will these cuts outlined in the governor's budget actually come from?
Well, and this is a tough budget. And I think the governor, when she introduced it, said she is inheriting a big budget deficit and she needs to do the right thing on behalf of the taxpayers. So she handed a big challenge to us at EOHHS, but also to all our providers and the people who receive Medicaid-funded services. There are proposals out there, as you know, in the budget. Much of it comes from rate cuts to nursing homes and hospitals, and also with our managed care organizations. And they are at the table with us right now to see if we can come up with some better approaches to managing a budget cut of that size.
Scott, how do you see the outlook for cutting Medicaid spending?
I think it's a little ludicrous to say you're going to reinvent Medicaid in the next 4 weeks. I just think it's either a tough budget or a disingenuous budget, however you look at it. One of the things you're doing here is you're just squeezing the providers. You can't reinvent or change Medicaid unless you take 6, 9, 12 months. You have to go through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, federal government. So I think this is going to be very difficult, and I don't see how you can do it without hurting either the providers or some of the folks. Look, if you're a nursing home operator, how'd you like to have the governor slash your reimbursements and raise the minimum wage to $10.10 on you? I mean, I really think it's going to be very difficult.
What do you say to that point, Madam Secretary?
So there are a couple things I want to say. One is that we've got an opportunity. There is a 4 week from now process. We're going to be submitting a budget amendment that is hopefully going to have some better proposals as part of that $90 million in state revenue we need to meet. But this is not a process that's going to end on April 30th. We are putting a report forward on July 1st that is really a work plan for this administration about how we are going to reinvent Medicaid. Because really, we are spending some money that isn't driving better quality. We have people who are in hospital emergency rooms and hospitals more than they need to be. We have some opportunities actually working with our providers to improve quality and lower cost for these consumers. And I want to say we turn to our institutional providers because they have the ability to work with us to change this system. It's tough to say to an 82-year-old and their family, actually, we need to change Medicaid by saying that you're not going to get service, or we're going to remove people from coverage, which is the way many states deal with their Medicaid challenge. They take people off of coverage. We have chosen not to do that, and we've said to hospitals and nursing homes and our insurers, let's work together to find some approaches so we're not back here year after year dealing with the same issues.
Maureen, how optimistic are you about the state's effort to reduce Medicaid spending?
I am very optimistic in the sense that I don't think anybody expects this to be a short-term process. You even go up on the Hill and you talk to people about the budget. This is a guesstimate in terms of how much money they're going to save. This is a paradigm shift. It's not just a change in policy. And so it's an ongoing effort to try to transition people in an appropriate way. And I think it's got a lot of promise. I think we've got to look at that. I think we have to look at the cuts to the providers, particularly the doctors. There may be another way to do this. One wonders about single payer. I mean, there's a whole range of things, but we're beginning that process. It's a long-term process. It has to change, and I'm very optimistic.
Before we move on, Elizabeth Roberts, there's dispute right now over how much the state spends on Medicaid. The governor says the figure is about 32%. There are other people who say the figure is closer to 22%. Who's correct here?
So we are looking, and the governor looks at how much Rhode Island's taxpayers are responsible for. So if you look at the state portion of the budget, what we call general revenue spending, more than 30 cents of every dollar is spent on Medicaid services. We have, particularly with our new eligible population of Medicaid, adults who weren't eligible before, those are paid for 100% by the federal government. So when you look at the percentage in the budget as a whole, it's 22%. But for Rhode Island taxpayers, that 31 cents on the dollar is a big number, and we need to find new approaches. If I can say one more thing, another approach that this governor has taken, and I salute her for her commitment to a very complicated and often difficult issue, is really pushed it out into the public. Often these Medicaid changes pop up at the end of session. They haven't had the kind of vetting, nor have they had the input from our partners.
Now, before you were Health and Human Services Secretary, you were Lieutenant Governor. You played a leading role in helping to develop Rhode Island's version of Obamacare, known as Health Source Rhode Island. Obamacare has remained controversial nationally, and we see how the Raimondo administration is moving to impose a tax on healthcare premiums. The federal system also does that when the federal government handles Obamacare for the state. So is this really working out in the best interest of taxpayers?
Well, I really want to salute Anya Rader-Wallach, who is our new Health Source Rhode Island director brought in by this governor, because she's taken this challenge on head on. We have covered through Health Source more than 30,000 Rhode Islanders through the exchange in general. We've broadened coverage by about 100,000 people, a big number of Rhode Islanders, both through Medicaid and through private insurance. So she has skinny down that budget significantly. She's working hard to keep that budget down. And we know that a locally based exchange is going to serve Rhode Islanders better and serve our health market better. It would be tough to be part of a big national exchange and be that tiny little state. Most people don't know where it is.
Maureen, do you think Health Source Rhode Island is working out in the best interest of Rhode Island taxpayers?
I think it does have the potential to do that. I think they're moving in the right direction. The thing I'm a little concerned about is the taxes on small business. I mean, it's only a little small tax, but it would be great. Senator Daniel DuPont has this idea of expanding the base to include municipal employees and semi-public. I think the model is great. I think we took a lot of time and money putting it in place. It's proved to be too expensive in the short term, and now we've got to figure out how to make up the difference. And I think there are a number of ways. I think the initial approach as far as the new tax on business is somewhat problematic, and we'll have to wait and see how that pans out.
Scott, how do you think Health Source Rhode Island is working out?
I think it's worked out pretty well. I mean, again, nationally, Obamacare has put about 16 million people nationally who didn't have health care before who now do. And there's 31,000 people in Rhode Island. We've already seen the way that this has cut some of the uncompensated, the so-called free care that the hospitals have to give out. Of course, then again, there's also the Jay Leno line where if you think health care is expensive now, wait till it's free. And Maureen, I hate to take any kind of umbrage at what you say, but if you think a little tiny state like Rhode Island has any chance of implementing a single-payer plan, then you believe in the Easter Bunny.
Maybe I do.
We're short on time, but before we let you go, Secretary Roberts, we want to ask about the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, one of the state departments under your aegis. It's been in the news for persistent cost overruns and fractured care to its clientele. How are efforts going to try to improve DCYF?
This has been a major focus for the governor and for me, and I want to say that the work that had been done under the prior administration and Jamie McDonald and a few others, as well as Senator DePalma in the Senate, put together some very practical approaches, and there is a lot of work going on there. And we've got a lot of very strong social workers who have not had the leadership nor the organization to work with. We are turning that agency inside out to make that work better, and I think you're going to see major improvements.
What specifically is being done to improve the agency?
Well, for example, we're looking at the fact that we have our social workers working like it's 1985, I think, where they have no data with them. They have no ability to take data about their cases out with them on the road where they spend most of their day. So one of our first things we're looking at to improve efficiency and streamline the process is to make sure that they have portable data on the people they're seeing that's up to date so that we can serve more people more efficiently.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island's Health and Human Services Secretary Elizabeth Roberts.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.